Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Fastamai, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Wednesday, 2nd of September 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news from the island and background to the news. Sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person tonight. 105 consecutive days of no new confirmed cases of COVID-19. Douglas Promenade could be two-way from next week. Tomorrow sees the first COVID-19 media conference in 5 weeks with the Chief Minister. Noble's Isle of Man Hospital has a new £1 million MRI scanner. And is the law on obtaining a license to sell alcohol outdated?
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Alex Watton.
Fastamai, it's been 105 days since the island last recorded a new case of coronavirus. As of the latest update, there are 26 people waiting for results and one person awaiting a test. In total, there have been 10,136 concluded tests. The one-way system on Douglas Promenade will be removed next week, 3 months earlier than initially scheduled. The Department of Infrastructure has announced the Summer Hill Junction will open on Tuesday, which will allow traffic to head south. The changes will also see the diversion at Governor's Dip End and the bus and cycle lane on Glencrutchery Road removed. And licensed island businesses are being held back by outdated legislation. That's according to the owner of Foraging Vintners, a Port Erin-based restaurant which serves customers from an outdoor pop-up tent such as a tent or gazebo. Further afield, the Foreign Secretary has said he's deeply concerned about Germany's claims that Alexei Navalny was poisoned by the nerve agent Novichok. Dominic Raab insists Russia must tell the truth about what happened to the politician, who is a fierce critic of President Putin. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are to produce films and programmes for Netflix. The streaming service says the deal includes scripted series, documentaries and features, as well as children's shows. And people in Bolton and Trafford will have to continue with coronavirus restrictions just hours after the government lifted the rules. The UK Health Secretary has announced a U-turn because of a significant change in infection rates. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Goromaya, thank you, Alex. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, Irish sea weather indicates some strong winds and there is a yellow weather warning for heavy rain on the island until 10 o'clock tonight. The wet and windy weather will dissipate later this evening, will clear away later tonight. The overnight minimum 14 degrees. For tomorrow, Thursday, Jourdain, sunny spells, isolated showers on a fresh southwesterly. Daytime maximum 17 degrees, down to 13 through the night. And Friday, Jehenya, dry with sunny intervals and a fresh to occasionally strong westerly wind. Top temperature 17 degrees. Low water at 11 minutes to 7 tonight, sunset 5 past 8. High water 12 minutes to 1 a.m., sunrise tomorrow morning 29 minutes to 7. And the morning low water in Douglas and a few minutes either side elsewhere, 24 minutes past 7.
The team at Manx Glass and Glazing are available for email inquiries. Contact them on inquiries@manxglass.com.
Changes to Douglas Promenade are coming in from next week with the latest on the regeneration work to the island's capital. Summer Hill is reopening and the prom will once again be two-way for traffic. Broadway, however, will not reopen as scheduled next Tuesday, the 8th of September, instead remaining closed till the end of October. Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker.
Same time we are reopening the Summer Hill Junction. And we'll be eliminating the temporary arrangements around St Ninian's Junction and Governor's Dip.
Now that reopening and the two-way, first of all, that's instead of reopening Broadway, is that right?
It is, yes. Broadway is going to stay shut until October, and that's going to allow the contractor to complete the work in reconstructing the Broadway Junction. And we had a choice to make as to whether to open Broadway and maintain the existing one-way system or to do what we're doing, which is, as we say, two-way traffic the whole length of the prom. And to help make that decision, we did engage with local business owners and took some soundings back in the last week to ascertain their views, and very strong endorsement for the approach that we're taking. So, really pleased that we can get the prom back two-way. Hopefully, it'll help the businesses that have been struggling with the impact of the work to move on. And we are very mindful of the impact on them and on residents. And of course, yesterday we announced the disc zone in Chester Street car park and the residential car parking arrangements in there as well. So, very very good week so far.
And is there still going to be traffic on the walkway?
Yes, yeah, for alongside the pedestrian and cyclist use. So we're trying to keep as many people happy as we can. So we've had the arrangements in the southern part of the prom where we've isolated a section for vehicles, and that is going to be still the case. But the prom will be open the whole way for walking and cycling, apart from a junction around the bottom of Broadway, around the War Memorial, where there'll be a diversion to take pedestrians across to the other side of the road.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
24 minutes to six. The Manx government has called for a coronavirus press conference to be held tomorrow for the first time in almost 5 weeks. It's being billed as a general update from the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle. The briefings, of course, became part of our daily lives under lockdown and were used by ministers to communicate their message to you, the Manx public. Ewan Gawne with the details.
And finally, my thanks to you, the great Manx public. Thank you for tuning in and taking the time to watch, listen and ask questions. That's all we've got time for, so it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
A humorous end, or not, to the series of conferences which came to dominate the airwaves, front pages and conversations of both the Manx media and public in the months of tragedy, uncertainty and resilience which defined the island's brush with COVID-19. But they were, of course, mainly used to deliver serious messages.
This is the announcement that I never wanted to make. It is with the heaviest of hearts that I have to announce the passing of one of our own because of COVID-19.
Whilst the schools will be closed, the doors will remain open at our secondary schools and 9 selected primary schools. These will be available to the children of key workers and vulnerable children.
This now makes it absolutely essential that we all follow the advice of self-isolation and social distancing.
After a month off, the Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, will take to the podium tomorrow at 4 p.m. for a general update. But what will be announced after more than 100 days without a new case of the virus? Is it time for change or proof of the success of current policies? We're still at level 4 of the government's borders framework, where residents can travel off-island if they're prepared to self-isolate for 2 weeks when they come back. Could this go to level 3, where non-residents can come here for hosted self-isolation? Or could we see the 14-day self-isolation period cut in half to 7 days, as ministers have discussed? It remains to be seen. So to find out more, tune in tomorrow at 4 p.m. The briefing will be live streamed on Manx Radio's Facebook channel and broadcast on the station's AM frequency.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
The next departure from the Isle of Man will be tomorrow morning's 8:46 departure for Mananan, heading for Heysham, arriving there at 11 o'clock, departing at 2:15 and arriving back on the island at 4:30. The somewhat disrupted schedule, of course, Mananan operating the daily passenger service to Heysham, the MV Arrow fulfilling freight services, and the Ben McCree still in dry dock in Falmouth. And you can see photos of the Ben McCree in dry dock in Falmouth on Manx Radio's Facebook page.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Well, it may have been raining hard this morning, but there were smiles on the faces at those of Nobles Isle of Man Hospital as they welcomed a new MRI scanner, MRI Magnetic Resonance Imaging Scanner. The £1 million machine's been funded by the Henry Bloom Noble Healthcare Trust. It's twice the size of the current one, which will be kept in operation to ease the strain of demand for it. John Moss was there to wave it in.
This donut-shaped machine can peer inside a human being and reveal much. Consultant radiologist Vanina Fanucci is naturally delighted to see its arrival.
We can get better images, we can get them faster, and we can basically give a better service to the people of the Isle of Man.
It's an enormous machine, which is basically a big magnet, so you have to be careful how you use it.
Yes, we have to be very, very careful on how we use it. That's why, actually, we will not put out of use the one we have now. We have a 1.5 Tesla, which is half the size, half the magnet, and which a lot of exams will only be able to be performed in this small one. Small. It's not small. Let me rephrase that.
It is
a big thing. But the 3 Tesla, of course, is double the size, double the magnet, double the power of the magnetic field. So we have to be a bit more careful with that.
So many more patients will be able to use these machines. But is the staff available to operate them? And who's paying for them? Former MHK Terry Groves is chair of the Henry Bloom Noble Healthcare Trust.
One of the issues to consider was that this department became properly resourced with staffing when this equipment was put in, and that has been agreed. So they'll have resource in place, they'll have the staff in place to deliver on the potential of not only this new 3.0 Tesla MRI, but also they're keeping the old one.
And there's also provision for young people who may be a bit scared of this big machine.
We and the Man in Cancer charity, we funded buying a kitten scanner. Actually, it's a toy. Costs £30,000, but it's a toy, and the children can come and use it, and they can put their toys through it and see how an MRI scanner works before they themselves have to go through it. And that's a huge saving on time and worry and concern for the department and parents alike.
Manx Radio's Business Briefing, brought to you by KPMG.
It's 18 minutes to 6, live from the Isle of Man. This is Update. The value of Apple is rocketing and continued to surge today, surpassing the entire value of all the members of the UK's top share index. The tech giant's shares rose 4%, valuing Apple at $2.3 trillion. That's £1.7 trillion. All the companies of the FTSE 100 are valued at $1.5 trillion. It's 2 weeks since Apple became the first American firm to be valued at $2 trillion, and investors have been snapping up the US tech stocks as demand for tech goods surge amid the coronavirus pandemic, as an ever-increasing army of workers relies on technology to work and shop from home. Apple has been one of the main beneficiaries. Its share price has more than doubled since March, when panic swept the world's stock markets. Plus, demand for Apple shares was boosted yesterday by the company's decision to divide the shares, swapping 4 new ones for every old one investors held, making it easier for individuals to invest. And in Kabul, an Afghan car company has launched a range of small trucks and passenger vans, which it hopes will appeal to a local market dominated by second-hand Japanese models imported via Dubai. Amin Noor Automobiles aims to tap a small but growing middle class in Afghanistan amid the militant violence and political instability. Beyond security challenges, companies face regular power cuts, but the cost of an Afghan car is much cheaper than products imported. Amin Noor offers 11 different models priced between $1,200 and $2,500. To date, they've built 200 vehicles. The next phase for Amin Noor, which builds vehicles in the Balkh Promise province in the north of Afghanistan, is to reduce the number of parts it needs to import.
KPMG, here for your business through these unprecedented times. Contact IOM at kpmg.co.im. The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher on the back of a strong session in Wall Street despite troubling economic indicators. The dollar bounced as US data pointed to a firm manufacturing activity. Crude oil extended gains after a bigger than expected draw in US crude stockpiles, and gold fell as the dollar rebounded and risk sentiment rose. In corporate news, Barrett, Persimmon and Taylor Wimpey were on the rise after the latest survey from Nationwide Building Society showed house prices in the UK at an all-time high. Elsewhere, Melrose Industries was trading higher a day ahead of the release of its full-year results. On the downside, Fresnillo and Polymetal lost ground as gold retreated. The numbers then. At the close in London, the FTSE 100 up 1.3% at 5,940. In Frankfurt, the DAX closed 2% up at 13,243. Currently in New York City, or just after 5 o'clock in New York, the Dow Jones Industrial Average up 0.6% at 28,817. The tech stocks index, the NASDAQ, down 0.5% at 11,875. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 up 0.5% at 3,542. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1.331 and €1.12.4. And gold in commodities, gold up down 1.3% at $1,942 an ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude down 2.5% at $44.54.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsey Crookle, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookle.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
Businesses licensed to sell alcohol on the Isle of Man are being held back by outdated legislation, according to the owner of Foraging Vintners, a Port Erin-based restaurant, which, when it can, serves customers from an outdoor pop-up, such as a tent or gazebo. Mary Beth from Foraging Vintners says the Licensing Act of 1995 just isn't suitable.
The issue is that it was designed under the older concept that the publican lives at the premises. So there is a lot of provisions in there that just don't really work with how modern businesses operate. For instance, at any time, you have to have someone called a designated official to be present on site if you're open. It's particular to this jurisdiction, where in the UK, it's one person has the license for the premises and they're the responsible person, but they don't physically have to be on the premises anytime that place is open. So what inevitably happens is that the court basically starts imposing a scheduling system on your employees. The aspect that most people will hear us at Foraging Vintners get disappointed with is the occasional licensing provisions of the Act, which is a 2 to 3 month lead time in order for a business to be able to put on an occasional event, a pop-up somewhere outside their licensed premises. It requires you to place advertisements in the newspaper. Once again, you have to go to court, you have to pay fees for the particular license. The issue is that it was designed to deal with the 2 week period during TT. And the drinking culture has changed. The way people want to experience things has changed in terms of when they go out for a drink. It just does not contemplate anything different than that. And it's just very expensive and it's time consuming. So if I wanted to put an event on in October, I've already missed the deadline.
Looking forward to next summer, what would you like in place by then?
I would like there to be more flexibility where there's not a 14-day requirement. I would like for the designated official system to be taken away from the court, for that to be dealt with directly with the police. And there's a online education tools that we can use to give people an understanding of the law. The law genuinely needs full-scale change because the Licensing Act also includes cinema licensing and music licensing, and they're all really outdated.
Manx Radio Sport.
11 minutes to 6. Fastamai, Tim Glover.
Fastamai, a strong second half performance saw Rushen beat St George's 2-0 at Croit Lowy last night to go to the summit of the Canada Life Premier League. 2 goals in 7 minutes from Dan Hattersley, the second from the penalty spot, gave Rushen their fourth win from 4 games. Corinthians are the only other top flight team with a 100% record after they demolished Peel 7-0 at Bala Fletcher. The home side were 6-0 up at half-time against the Westerners. Sean Doyle completed his hat-trick in the second half, with the other goals coming from Dan Simpson with 2, Daniel Gerrard and Luke Murray. The football this evening has been hit by the weather. There were 2 games on grass to be played. The JCK Limited Division 2 match between Foxtel and Braddon, which had been switched to Colby, is postponed, as is the Canada Live Combination 1 7 o'clock kickoff, St John's against Peel. But there is under 18 league action at the Bowl this evening. It's Corinthians against Union Mills at 6:15 and Laxey versus Onchan
at 8 o'clock. Further afield, it's hoped 20,000 fans will be able to attend England's Rugby Union International against the Barbarians at Twickenham next month. The RFU aims to use a quarter of the stadium's full capacity, with space allowed for social distancing. And Britain's Kyle Edmund will have to pull off a big upset if he's to reach the third round of the US Open tennis tonight. He takes on world number one Novak Djokovic.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Auto Solutions.
Already departed, the Guernsey departure left at 20 to 5 tonight, back to the Channel Island. The 4:30 to London City left 17 minutes late, and the 10 to 5 to Liverpool left just a minute late. Inbound tonight, 6:40 from Liverpool and 8 o'clock from London City. On the roads, the Matrix signs, Begarro, Salvey Abbott Road and Ramsey to the Mountain showing fog on the mountain. Do please take appropriate action, otherwise you won't see a thing. Kinnish Terrace in Ballasalla is closed between Clackvane East and Plot 33 for highway resurfacing. Look out also Peveril Square in Douglas between the Sea Terminal and the Lloyds Bank Building. Temporary narrow lane there for building work. North Quay Douglas, of course, closed till 11 o'clock tonight for that pedestrianisation experiment. Be also aware that from next Monday, Hawarden Avenue in Douglas is closed between Woodburn Road and Selborne Road. The Woodburn Square one-way system will be suspended. Of course, you heard the news. The Douglas Promenade goes back to two-way from next week. All the information is at manxradio.com. And in fact, all the information about trains, planes, boats, buses and rails at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by
Auto Solutions, 670-145.
Those who live and work abroad but have families on the Isle of Man are currently unable to visit unless they get special permission. Even then, they've got 14 days in self-isolation. In Guernsey, those coming in from certain countries can opt to quarantine for a week and then be released provided they test negative for the virus. Jacob O'Sullivan works in Scotland and Susie Holland, who relocated to North Lincolnshire, both have family on the Isle of Man and want to visit.
Nobody wants to bring our family and friends into any danger. You know, it's really nice to know that my family are there and are in a safe, brilliant place. But obviously, it's been a long time, and it is really difficult to kind of not being able to be told by somebody that you're not able to visit home. And really, it's as time goes on, one realizes that unfortunately, COVID perhaps isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And it's just not realistic, certainly for me to take 2 weeks off work to come home. Mm. But you kind of wonder when will we be able to, if not now, when?
Do you think if it was cut to, say, 7 days, as has been discussed by politicians here, that would be something you could manage?
I think so. And I think there are a great lot of people in this situation that would make things so much easier and hopefully still be safe. I mean, obviously, you need to follow the expert advice. But if people are saying that that's a safe option, then I see no reason why it shouldn't be followed. I mean, at the moment, people with primary residency in the Isle of Man are able to leave the island and go wherever in the world and then return as long as they isolate for 2 weeks. I don't think that Manx people whose primary residency is the UK or elsewhere are any more of a risk if they return to do that. If it was 7 days, it would just free up a lot of people. It would mean you were able to take less time off work and come back and reunite families.
Test people as they arrive and then decide, from what I've read, they can turn around the tests in the Isle of Man pretty quickly. So, you know, if you arrive and it's negative, why do you have to quarantine?
Paint the perfect picture here for you. As somebody in the UK who wants to visit family here on the island, what do you think would be, based on what we know at the moment, that the perfect process for you to go through?
Test. Just test on arrival.
Simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, test on arrival, turn the test around quickly. You know, obviously a couple of days, that's not a big deal. If you're coming for a week, it's not too bad. I don't think any sort of quarantine just for the sake of quarantine is necessarily a brilliant idea.
Don't cry, but today would have seen racing at the Manx Grand Prix, but not in this weather, of course. People all over the world are doing the equivalent of a lap of the mountain course in memory of or to celebrate people associated with the MGP to raise funds. With just a few more, they'll complete a lap of the world, organiser Jim Hunter.
I didn't actually know how far it was around the world before I started this, but it's actually 24,000
901 miles, and so far we've got something like 22,000 miles pledged. So I'm hoping that we can find another 76 people to come forward and say, yes, I'll ride or I'll drive 37 miles in memory or in recognition of somebody between now and Friday afternoon, because that's when we finish.
People have done, if they're able to, here on the Isle of Man, a lap of the TT course, because we know that's the exact distance. But people have cycled, they've walked, they've gone in cars all around the world.
Yeah, quite literally. I've just had a pledge come in from Danila Kruzniak, who competed in the Manx Grand Prix last year. He's a Russian, of course. He was the first Russian to compete in the Manx Grand Prix. So he's going to do 37 miles around St. Petersburg. And I've got Royce Rowe, who's riding around Adelaide down in Australia. Bill Blythe in the United States. Lancelot Unisar in France. That was really interesting. I had 61 Swedish riders who wanted to ride around Stockholm in memory of different people who were associated with the Manx Grand Prix. So it has quite literally become a global thing.
And how much money have you managed to raise as well, and to what causes?
The Manx Grand Prix Supporters Club, Wyn Evans and the ACU Benevolent Fund. But then there's a guy that's quite well known in the motorcycling circle called Stephen Corlett, who's unfortunately away at the moment having some treatment for a brain tumour. And he's received a lot of support from a local charity called Nassim's Manx Brain Tumour Support. Some of the money that we've collected were definitely going their way. Delighted with the donations. We're just short of £6,000 at the moment.
That's it for Update tonight. Thanks to the resources of Manx Radio's news department, the newsreader Alex Watton, producer Tim Glover. I'm Andy Wint, and Update is back Thursday evening at 5:30. Remember, 4 o'clock tomorrow on Manx Radio, and also on our YouTube and Facebook channels, the government media update for coronavirus at 4.